Thank you for the invitation. Thankful things worked out for me to be able to break bread and remember the Lord Jesus Christ with you this morning. And as we open the scriptures, we'll be opening them to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1, we'll be reading a few verses in chapter 1, and then chapter 2 and a few verses in chapter 3. And as we read these scriptures, and again, Ezekiel was living in a time when God's truth was marching on, but it was marching in judgment against the nation of Israel, and he was taken captive, and his life changed and was turned upside down. And so we read these verses, would like for us to think of how Ezekiel himself was empowered by the Spirit and enlightened through the Word and implanted in God's place for him. And I think it's important for us, and what we want to see today is that we, by the grace of God, are content with the place that God has us be in. We'll start in Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 1. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives of the river Kebar, that the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. In the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Kebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. The rest of chapter 1 is what he saw. He saw the glory of God. He saw four living creatures upholding the throne of God. And in verse 28, this was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God. And when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard the voice of one that spoke. Chapter 2. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spoke unto me, and set me upon my feet, and I heard him who spoke unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this day. For they are an impotent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall they know that there has been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee. And thou dost dwell among scorpions. Do not be afraid of their words, nor be dismayed by their looks, though they are a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear, whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say to thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat what I give thee. When I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a scroll was in it. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written in it lamentations, mourning, and woe. Chapter 3. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat what thou findest. Eat this scroll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that scroll. And he said unto me, Son of man, eat, fill thy stomach with this scroll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth like honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech or a hard language, but to the house of Israel, not to many people of a strange speech or of a hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent you to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But to the house of Israel, the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impotent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, thy forehead strong against their foreheads, like an adamant or a diamond, harder than flint, have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears, and go, get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of the people, and speak unto them, and tell them, Thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Then the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard behind me a voice of great rushing, saying, Blessed be the glory of the Lord from this place, from his place. I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels beside them, and the noise of a great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness, in the heat of my spirit. But the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Then I came unto them of the captivity at Telabib, and dwelt by the river Kebar, and sat where they sat, and remained them overwhelmed among them 7 days. And we ask the Lord's blessing on our time. Father, we do look to you and do pray that our hearts would be humble, that we would receive your word, that we would hear it and apply it in our own lives. Father, help us to learn lessons from your prophet Ezekiel. And Father, may we be encouraged and strengthened in our walk with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we think about Ezekiel, and we started in chapter 1, we see immediately that he was born a priest. His father's name was Buzi. And Ezekiel, no doubt, had dreams, had plans, had desires of going into the priesthood, ministering in the temple there in Jerusalem. Ezekiel was born in the days of Josiah. The Bible tells us Josiah was a great king. He walked after the ways of David. After much apostasy and rebellion within the nation, he was determined to eradicate idolatry, and he did so. Then he went back to Jerusalem, and he was determined to clean up the temple, the house of the Lord, and he did so. The Bible tells us that Hilkiah found the law of the Lord. They read it. Josiah tore his clothes. They realized that they were in peril because our God is marching on. His truth is marching on. And to rebel against his truth is only inviting the judgment of God. They recognized this, they humbled themselves before God, and they determined to make things right. The Bible tells us that they kept the Passover, and the Passover was, there had not been a Passover kept such as was kept in those days, except back in the days of Samuel. And it seemed like there was a great revival in the world, specifically in Israel. So Josiah is on the throne, and Ezekiel, he's getting older, and he's seeing this revival, and no doubt he's caught up with it, and he's thinking of that day that he might minister in the temple in Jerusalem. But unfortunately, Pharaoh Necho of the Egyptians went up against the Babylonians. He takes his army through Israel. And there in Megiddo, he's met by Josiah, and Josiah resists him. We don't see where Josiah looked to the Lord as to whether to do this or not. But he got involved, you might say, he got entangled in the things of the world. And unfortunately, he died there in battle. There was great mourning and lamentation. In fact, I think it's referenced that Jeremiah lamented for the death, concerning the death of Josiah. Once Josiah died, the rebellion and the apostasy came back to the forefront. The Bible tells us that a couple of kings came and went. Necho put Jehoiakim. Then Nebuchadnezzar replaced him with Jehoiachin. And these kings rebelled, and we know that Daniel was taken captive around 605. And then Ezekiel was taken captive probably around 597. And so this individual, this man Ezekiel, who had dreams of the priesthood, he thought he had his life laid out for him. But yet circumstances much beyond his control changed the place where he would be, changed the duties that God would have him do. We read in Ezekiel chapter 1 that it was by the river Kebar he was with the captives. And that he saw visions of God. And it says specifically in verse 1, now it came to pass in the 30th year. Now I would suggest that this is probably his 30th birthday. It's 30th year in this world. Now, I think that's significant because according to Numbers chapter 4, it was in the 30th year that the priests began to minister. And so here we have Ezekiel, and he's in a place that he did not expect it to be. And he's among the captives of the Babylonians. And as Psalm 137 says, as they hung their lyres or their harps on the willows and they pined away of what Zion was in the past, and in fact the Babylonians would torment them. Well, sing us of the songs of Zion. No doubt Ezekiel himself was sitting there and pondering how this was the year, this was the time that I was to enter into the priesthood to minister unto the things of the Lord. But there come times in our life when we have to forget those things which are behind and reach forth, press forward to things which are before. And Ezekiel had to learn that lesson. And I would suggest to you there are times we have to learn that lesson as well. We end up in circumstances or in places we did not expect to be. We have roles that we have to go through and accomplish that God gives us that are uncomfortable. We have to endure seasons of life where as time is taken from us and our health is taken from us and our loved ones are taken from us. Yes, sometimes our abilities are taken from us. We have to recognize that God is in control and we need a fresh vision of His glory. Ezekiel had plans and dreams, but they were dashed. The thing that eclipses is our plans and our dreams and our hopes and our desires in this world is the glory of God. There is a throne in heaven, and it is occupied. And so Ezekiel is sitting here by the river with the captives, and it is there, outside of the land, outside of Jerusalem, that he beholds the glory of God, away from the temple. We know that Isaiah was in the temple, and he saw the Lord high and lifted up. Ezekiel is now outside the land. And the word of the Lord came unto Ezekiel, the prophet. He's called to be a prophet. He planned on being a priest, but he's called to be a prophet. And God gives him that glorious vision, and he sees the four living creatures with four faces, with four wings and four hands and four wills. And the living creatures are upholding the throne of God. Of course, this should be applied in our own hearts and lives. We're but living creatures, and it is God's will for us to uphold the glory of God. But Ezekiel sees this. And we read that he fell on his face. When he fell on his face, he heard the voice of one who spoke. Reminds us of John in the book of Revelation. And so we come to chapter 2, and he's given a command. He said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto you. Ezekiel, before the glory of God, down on his face, is commanded to stand. In his own strength, he could not. But God gives him enabling power to stand. And we see this in verse 2, that the Spirit entered into me when he spoke unto me. And he set me upon my feet, and I heard him who spoke unto me. With the vision of the glory of God comes the command. He is enabled to hear. He is enabled to stand. But he's going to be told some things that are going to make him uncomfortable. This one who was trained to be a priest is going to be called to be a prophet. This one who wanted to minister in the temple is going to be made a spectacle before the captives there in Babylon. He's going to have to endure things that will bring laughter and derision from those he lives with. Chapter 4 speaks of how he plays toy soldiers to speak of the coming of the judgment of God against Jerusalem. We read elsewhere where God tells him to speak only my word, and God actually causes the tongue to stick to the roof of his mouth, and he can't speak unless he speaks the word that God gives him. Throughout the book of Ezekiel, he is a spectacle before the people. And this isn't what he signed up for. This isn't what his plans were. No doubt, these weren't the desires that he had in his heart. But yet God has taken him from Jerusalem. And God has placed him by the river Kebar with the captives. And God has shown him his glory. And God has enabled him to hear and to stand. And the Spirit empowered him to stand and enabled him to hear. As we contemplate our own lives, as we examine our own hearts, no doubt many of us have, if we aren't living in times now, we have lived in times, or we will in the future, where we get put in a place that becomes uncomfortable. And we may struggle with these things. And I would suggest to you, Ezekiel struggled with these things. He resisted this call of God for him to be a prophet. But yet this was God's will for him. This was God's place for him. And Ezekiel had to learn contentment with the place that God had for him and for his life. And so the Spirit entered into him and spoke and set him upon his feet. And he heard him who spoke unto me. And he said, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation. That's a word we read a lot, didn't we? Rebellious, rebellious, rebellious. He wouldn't be sent to a foreign nation like Jonah was. He would be sent to his own people, a hard-hearted people, a stiff-necked people. And he was even told, we read, that they aren't going to listen to you because God said they don't listen to me. And yet God told him to go. Such is the long-suffering and the mercy and the grace of God. He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. And he sends Ezekiel, a man who was groomed to be a priest, but now called to be a prophet. And Ezekiel would have to speak to a rebellious and stubborn and obstinate house. God called them briars and thorns and scorpions. But he says, do not be afraid or fear their words. And notice he says, or be dismayed by their looks. He would be derided. He would be laughed at. When he proclaimed judgment, they would look at him. And no doubt sought to intimidate him. Make him afraid. But God told him, do not be afraid. Verse 7, we read, thou shalt speak my words unto them, and whether they hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But notice in verse 8 he said, but thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee, be not thou rebellious, be not thou rebellious, like that rebellious house. It's easy for us to become rebellious, isn't it? When we get put in a place that makes us uncomfortable and we begin to question God and we begin to wish we were somewhere else. And God warns Ezekiel, don't be like them. Don't be rebellious as they are rebellious. And so how is it that we can prevent ourselves from becoming rebellious in difficult and harsh circumstances? We see at the end of verse 8, open thy mouth and eat what I give thee. We see that Ezekiel is commanded to eat. He's commanded to feed on the Word of God. Not to feed on the words of other false prophets or other people or what the kings of Israel were saying at the time or the people were saying. The people of the day thought, well, there's no way God's going to allow the Babylonians to destroy Jerusalem and destroy the temple. They would look back to Abraham. And they would see the temple as God's dwelling place. There's no way that God is going to destroy us. People that live in our country have the same attitude. There's no way nothing's going to happen to the United States of America. We just don't know. We don't know what God's will is. But we do know this, that those in Ezekiel's day that thought that, they were wrong. And in the life that he lived, the parables that he literally lived out before the people demonstrated to them that when the judgment came, they would know a prophet had lived among them and that he had proclaimed the truth of the Word of God as we sang God's truth marches on. But again, Ezekiel is warned not to be rebellious and to eat what I give thee. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a scroll was in it. And so it's as if the hand of God with a scroll for Ezekiel. Reminded when I read this of the fingers that appeared there in Daniel before Belshazzar and those fingers, Belteshazzar, and how that the writing on the wall, many, many tickle your foreskin. You're numbered and weighed. Your kingdom is to be divided. That was a word of judgment. Here Ezekiel is going to receive this scroll, and we read in verse 10 that there was written in it lamentations and mournings and woe. God's judgment. The Bible has been given to us that we might know God's will. And yes, God judges sin. And there are lamentations and mourning and woe within the Scriptures, but all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And the Scripture that is given to us also gives us hope. Gives us hope. And this is what we feed on. We feed on the bread from heaven. We feed on our Lord Jesus Christ. But Ezekiel is told, and notice this, he's told to take the scroll and eat it. Ezekiel sees the lamentations and mourning and woe, and again, I would suggest this isn't what he signed up for. And notice what we read in chapter 3. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat what thou findest. Eat this scroll and go and speak to the house of Israel. Three times he's told to eat the scroll. And what it speaks of here, and I want to be reverent here, but it reminds me, I had two small kids at one time. They're in their 20s now, but we would try to feed our kids, and you know how little babies can be. And so you try to move the spoon around, and then they open it, and you jam it in, and hope they don't spit it back at you. That's almost the picture I see here. Eat the scroll. Eat it. And go speak to this house. And then verse 2 says, and I opened my mouth. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat the scroll. There's some resistance here. Ezekiel wasn't interested in being a prophet, wasn't interested in being a spectacle before the people. Wasn't interested in telling people they were going to be judged. But he said unto me, he opened the mouth, he was caused to eat that scroll, and in verse 3 he said unto me, Son of man, eat, and fill thy stomach with this scroll that I give thee. And I did eat it, and it was in my mouth like honey for sweetness. And so that's the exhortation to us, isn't it? We need to take the Word of God and feed on it and make it a part of our lives. Yes, it speaks much of lamentations and mourning and woe, but we remember Calvary. We remember what our Lord Jesus went through, how he suffered on our behalf. We know that the scriptures tell us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For the Lord Jesus bore our sins in his body. He was buried. He is risen from the dead. He is seated at God's right hand. He is the man in the glory. He's soon to come again. These are the things that we feed on. In the scriptures, we feed on him, the bread of life. We take it to our heart. Elsewhere in Ezekiel, the leaders of the captivity and the leaders in Israel, it speaks of how they had idols in their hearts. I think it was Calvin who said our hearts are an idol factory. Idols bring rebellion. We have to feed on the Word. We have to make it a part of our lives. And so he opens his mouth, he's caused to eat it. It was sweet in his mouth like honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go. Go to the house of Israel. You see, we can't be effective in our speech unless we've been feeding. Unless we're in communion with the Lord. In verse 10 of chapter 3, we read, the Lord tells him, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ear. Before we can be effective in what we say, before we can be effective in the word that we might give for the Lord, we have to receive that word in our own heart. We have to have an open ear to hear. Not a closed ear that's going to take in the word and reject it and say, I'm not doing that. See, this is how we deal with rebellion in our own hearts and in our own lives. We have to take the Word of God to our heart and cast out the idols. We have to hear with our ears. We remember that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Well, Ezekiel once again is told he's got a difficult ministry. He's told again he's going to the house of Israel. He tells them they're stiff-necked, they're hard-hearted. But, verse 8 of chapter 3, I have made thy face strong against their faces, thy forehead strong against their forehead. See, the God who calls is the God who empowers and who enables. And He is sufficient to meet what we need, to give us what we need. And so Ezekiel would be enabled to stand against their harsh looks and their words. But Ezekiel had to first receive the word in his heart. Again, Ezekiel is put in a place he didn't expect to be. He's performing a ministry that's going to be very uncomfortable. And it's going to bring a lot of heartache. And he's struggling with all of this. And we read that God reveals to him again in His glory. In verse 12, the Spirit lifted me up. I heard behind me the voice of a great rushing, saying, "Blessed be the glory of the Lord from His place." His place. See, when we humble ourselves, when we yield ourselves to the leading of the Spirit of God, we can behold God's glory in our life and we receive blessing in His place. In His place. As we've been reminded, where two or three are gathered together, regardless of the number, the Lord is in our midst. As we were reminded, we're all members of the body and we all have spiritual gifts. And we're all important to the function of the body. And sometimes the one part of the body, Paul gets into this, where, and I forgot exactly, but where maybe the hand doesn't like, the foot doesn't like where it is and wants to be the hand or whatever the case may be. Sometimes we can rebel in the place that God puts us. And the way to fight this rebellion is to humble ourselves, allow the Spirit to lead us, and open our eyes and our ears to hear the Word of God and apply it in our life. Ezekiel heard the noise of the wings of the living creatures, that vision, that glory that he saw in chapter 1, and the Spirit lifted him up. In and of ourselves, we can't do anything. We're so dependent on the God of glory, and in His grace, He has sealed those of us who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit to enable us to do His will. And it is the Spirit that lifts up Ezekiel. But notice it says, "I went in bitterness. In the heat of my spirit." His life is being turned upside down. No dreams of ministering in the temple be realized. And again, at this particular time, the temple had not been destroyed yet. In fact, we learn later in Ezekiel that those that were living in Jerusalem saw that Ezekiel and his captives were taken, and they started commandeering their land for themselves, not soon realizing it would all be taken. But Ezekiel struggled with these things. He struggled with where he was. He went in bitterness, in the heat of the Spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. We can be thankful that He that has begun a good work in us will perform it. Will perform it. For those of us to the day of Jesus Christ, those of us who have trusted the Lord Jesus, who have believed on Him. And then we read He's back with the captives, Tel Abib, there at the River Kebar. And He sat where they sat. He took His place among them, the captives. He remained there overwhelmed among them for 7 days. You might remember that It was 7 days that when the priests, the sons of Aaron, were ordained, they were to stay at the gate of the tabernacle there for 7 days. And here Ezekiel is sitting there for 7 days, but he is not going to be a priest. He was ordained by God to be a prophet. And Ezekiel would have to learn through much trial, through much difficulty, through much heartache. He loses his wife to death, and this was symbolic for Israel. All of these things would happen to him. And he would have to learn a willingness to accept the place that God puts us and the role that God gives us. And so there's much for us to learn from Ezekiel. Often God puts us in places that are uncomfortable. And maybe we're doing things we didn't think we would be doing maybe 20, 30 years ago. But yet we're to be humble and we're to be yielded. And we're to remember Gethsemane and the words of our Lord Jesus when he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." We're to remember the words of John the Baptist when he said, "He must increase, I must decrease." And so may God give us grace and help to be content with the place that God puts us. To be content with the abilities that he gives us. To be content with the season of life that we are living in. Our health may go, our finances may go. May we see God in his glory. May we be encouraged by what we feed on in the Word. May we know that there is a man in the glory, and if there wasn't a man in the glory, none of us would have any hope. But he has won for us the victory. And if you're here today and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus, God so loved the world that he sent his Son. And Jesus Christ came into this world. He lived an absolutely perfect life, and he was content with that place that God put him. He told the disciples he must go to Jerusalem. He must suffer many things of the scribes and the chief priests. He must be put to death. But he also told them that he must arise. And he set his face, as the Old Testament prophet said, as a flint to go to Jerusalem. And it was there he willingly laid down his life for us, for sinners. He took our sins upon himself on the tree. He cried, "It is finished." He was buried. And on the third day he arose from the dead, just as he said. And as was referenced earlier concerning the Lord Jesus, we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. And so, may we be encouraged when we're struggling with maybe the place that God has put us. May we look unto Jesus. May we remember what he did for us, and may we remember Ezekiel and the struggle that he had. But we read through the book of Ezekiel, and he was faithful. It was uncomfortable, but he did what God commanded him to do and was faithful to the end. So maybe these thoughts encourage our hearts this day. Shall we pray?